Please bow your head and close your eyes. Dear Lord, as we come into your house to worship you, I want to thank you for showing grace and mercy to everyone who woke up this morning and starting them on their way. Watch over your children, O Lord, and help them along the way so that they know through you anything can happen. Give them strength and guidance so they know that not giving up is an option. And heal those who are sick and hurt. Let them know it's not the doctor's report that matters, it's yours. And when we leave your house today, give us the strength to see that you, O Lord, as our Father, you are our deliverer, healer, and Savior. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Test 1, 2. How y'all feel this morning? Come on, put a smile on your face. You look beautiful, but you need to smile to express that. If I were to look at you guys' faces and look at your expression, I would have a lot of thoughts in my mind. Because how you look is kind of how you feel, so it reveals what's on the heart. So how do you feel this morning? I dare you to stand up on your feet and just give God a quick praise in the place. Don't look around. Don't be scared. Don't worry about what we got going on up here. But we came to give God a praise because he's that good. He's that merciful. He's that honorable. Now, while I got you on your feet, I want you to stay on your feet. Now, this is not a command. If you feel like you need to sit down because of age, you know, we'll know you can sit down. If your knees are bad, you can sit down. If you feel like you got a little weight issues and you just need to, you can sit down, no problem. But for those of you who feel like you want to give God a crazy praise, you know he's been that good to you, I want you to stand on your feet and I want you to send your energy up this way because we need it this morning, amen? Here we go. Clap! Hey!
You've been so good. You've been so good. Here we go. Lord, you are good. Say,
Lord, you are good and your
mercy endures
forever.
Say, Lord,
Lord, you are good and your mercy
endures
forever.
Come on, let's sing it again. Lord,
you are good. Lord, hallelujah, yeah.
If he's good, come on, give him a crazy praise. I know this is not church like you used to, but give God a crazy praise. Now, I'm not demanding it, but the scriptures does say that if you have my breath, you should praise me. Now, that's not me talking. I'm not trying to force it on you, but the Bible says if you have breath, then everything that has breath. Are you breathing? Come on, touch the person next to you. Say, are you breathing? Do you have breath in your body? Can you breathe? If you can breathe, I need you to say, yeah! Say, yeah! Yeah! Hallelujah. Go ahead, sit down, sit down, sit down. I know y'all not used to that. Go ahead, sit down. Let's go back to the formal service as you know it. Amen.
Good morning, church. Okay. What we're reading this morning is Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 15. And it reads, since Joseph could no longer control his feelings in front of his servants, he sent them out of the room. When he was alone with his brothers, he told them, I am Joseph. Then he cried so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and told him about it in the king's palace. Joseph asked his brothers if his father was still alive, but they were too frightened to answer. Joseph told them to come closer to him. And when they did, he said, yes, I am your brother Joseph, the one who you sold into Egypt. Don't worry or blame yourselves for what you did. God is the one who sent me ahead of you to save lives. There has already been a famine for 2 years, and for 5 more years, no one will plow the fields or harvest grain. But God sent me on ahead of you to keep your families alive and to save you in this wonderful way. After all, you weren't really the ones who sent me here. It was God. He made me the highest official in the king's court and placed me over all Egypt. Now hurry back and tell my father that his son Joseph says, God has made me ruler of Egypt. Come here as quickly as you can. You will live near me in the region of Goshen with your children and grandchildren, as well as your sheep, goats, cattle, and everything else you own. I will take care of you there during the next 5 years of famine. But if you don't come, you and your family and your animals will starve to death. All of you, including my brother Benjamin, can tell by what I have said that I really am Joseph. Tell my father about my great power here in Egypt and about everything you have seen. Hurry and bring him here. Joseph and Benjamin hugged each other and started crying. Joseph was still crying as he kissed each of his other brothers. After this, they started talking with Joseph. What I just read was Genesis chapter 45, 1 through 15, the word of God for the people of God.
From all that dwells below the skies, let the Creator's praise arise. Let the Redeemer's name be sung through every land, by every tongue.
Let us hear a summary of the Decalogue. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Let us affirm our faith by the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And as you take your seats, why don't you just put your hands together one more time if you know that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good.
Amen.
The choir is singing up a storm this morning. Brother Gabriel is trying to push us to a place of praise and worship. And some of us are going there. Amen. Amen. And so we just thank God for a spirit of praise in the house this morning. At this time, the ushers will come to receive our benevolent offering. Please remember that the benevolent offering enables us to assist those who are poor and needy. This is our mission offering. It helps us to go out into our community and legitimately sow seeds of goodness and help to those who need it the most. And so these funds directly impact those outreach ministries that we have at our church. So please, we ask that you give as God has prospered you. Amen. We sing because we're happy. We sing because we're free. His eye is on the sparrow. And we know he is watching over all of us right now. Amen. At this time, we invite the, yes, acolytes to bring us the offering table. This is our opportunity to give a tithe gift to the Lord, and we invite Brother Henry Fleming III to come, as well as Brother Robert Ford. We invite the two of these brothers to come to receive this offering. This is our tithe gift that enables us to do ministry here at this church. Amen. As much as we would like to believe that the church operates on prayer, it's not by prayer alone. Amen. And so we ask that you give liberally your contributions and gifts. We do remind you that we are still receiving debt elimination campaign funds for those who are still willing to see that project through until the end of the year with the rest of us. Amen. Let us lift our gifts up to the Lord. God, we thank you one more time for the privilege to come and give a tithe to you, back to you, that you have given unto us. You've given us so much bountifully and abundantly that we can come and share that which you have blessed us with so that we can be a blessing not only to your church, but a blessing to everyone that this church serves. Thank you, God, for Mount Zion Church, for giving us a relevant place in this community. And so we come now in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, asking that you will take these, our gifts, receive them, O God, so that we might be good stewards and sow seeds of love and peace and forward movement in this community. We ask that you begin to take these, our gifts, and merge them together with those of our brothers and sisters and cause us to be able to do more than we could ever imagine. Thank you. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. At this time, the ushers will release you from your seats to come to the tithing box in the choir. They're going to help us with another selection at this time. Amen.
precious Jesus.
Don't play nothing.
We have the victory. We have the victory. Put your hands together. Put your hands together all across this congregation. If you have the victory, you ought to clap your hands and give God a praise. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Somebody ought to say thank you. We have the victory. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's a good place right there. We have the victory.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Clap your hands one more time and tell God thank you. You can do it better than that. Clap your hands and tell God thank you. You can do it better than that. Clap your hands. I wish I had everybody's hand in the house today. Clap your hands and tell God thank you. We have the victory. Touch somebody and say, we have the victory. Touch somebody and say, we have the victory. Who can stand before us when we call on that great name? Oh my. How many of you feel that you have the victory? Over everything, whatever it is that has you shackled or bound or has been trying to pull at you, you have the victory today. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I'm glad I can come to the church that reminds us that we have the victory. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Sister Lynn Halsey, it is so good to have you back in the house. You have the victory. Glory be to God. So good to see Sister Lynn in the house today. I see, Scarlett, my good friend Scarlett. You know, I was in Hemingway yesterday, you know, went to a funeral there at my old church. And as soon as I passed by your family's house, and when I came back out and received your text, I was so happy. You see how the Lord just kind of works in a very ESP kind of way. Amen. I was thinking of you, and you texted me at that time. We have Scarlett and Heather in the house. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for both of them this morning. Oh, you can do it better than that. Warm it up. Yeah. And then we have my good friend, my new friend, Matt from Snyder. He owns the whole Snyder rental, or the manager, he's the person in charge. You know, Snyder, the place we get our tents from and we have to pay for. I hope we never have to pay for it again. Amen. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Matt emailed me last week, we've been emailing back and forth, and then he emailed last week, and he said, Pastor, I just want to come to church. And then Mike Wack confirmed that, saying, I'm coming to church with Matt. Amen. And so let us give the Lord a hand clap of praise for Matt and Mike. Amen. Back there on the row behind Bob and Margaret. Amen. And to all of us who are here today, we just thank God for you. Yes. Amen. We have Warren back from war. Yes. He's back from the United Arab Emirates.
and he's not going back anymore. The Lord being his helper. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. Sister Taylor is on the back row. I see her back there, all the way from Emmanuel Church. That's all right. Amen. She is our friend. And so we thank God for everybody who's in the house today. I see our college students back. Are you there? They're kind of, yeah. I see them slipping through the doors. And so we would just invite anyone who is visiting with us today, whether your first time or you just want to say hi, we invite you to stand and just say hello to us this morning so that we might be able to love you as only Mount Zion knows how. Yeah, so happy about that. So Mount Zion, let us give them a 5 Glebe Street welcome so that they will know from the depths of our souls that we are so happy to have them worshiping with us this morning. And if you would, find somebody and give them a big Mount Zion hug so that they will know without a shadow of a doubt that we are happy to have them with us
the
this
Jesus.
Morning. Thank you. Amen. Well, of course, it would be Bob and my dad who are the last two men standing. They are our official hospitality greeters. Amen. And give them a hand. Into dancing? Did he turn your darkness into joy? Yes. Give the Divine Zion praise dancers another hand. I'm going to let y'all just run that for a little while. Can you feel him turning some things right now? Yeah. I can feel it. Amen. It's a personal praise. Sometimes you have to come to a place in your human experience where you look up and know that only God worked out whatever the situation is that you could not even imagine that could be worked out in your life. Amen. Can I get a witness of anybody who knows that God is able to do the impossible? When it seemed like everything was weighing against your favor, God came in and turned that whole thing around. Touch somebody and say, he turned it. Yeah. I felt that. Thank you, Divine Zion praise dancers, under the leadership of Shannon Wright and Shanice Edwards. Give them a hand. I love it. Turn my mourning into dancing. Turn my sadness or my sorrow into joy. And if we had more joyful folk, I think the brother said it earlier, that our faces and countenances would not be so sorrowful. Amen. Amen. There's a whole lot of reasons to be sad, but right now you are permitted to be happy. Yes. Sometimes you need permission. It's all right. It's going to be fine. And so to smile, I used to like the Lino Play World before they turned into Toys R Us. Part of their slogan was, we'll turn your frown upside down. Yeah. And so sometimes when you came in with a frown,
through the power of the Holy Spirit. He will enable you to have a smile so infectious and contagious that your neighbor will start smiling. And the person sitting on the other side of you will start smiling. And the person sitting behind you will start smiling. And before long, we will have a church full of happy folk. All right. Amen. Yes. Oh my. So Sister Robin Reed is smiling. Because she's soon to be married to Brother Gabriel O'Ree next month. And their date is coming and approaching very quickly. And so come on up, Sister Robin. Maybe your smile will jump on somebody else. Amen. Isn't that a big smile?
Who read the scripture so wonderfully this morning, and he is still at Wando. Where are you now? Oceanside High School. Okay, Oceanside Academy, and we have Sister Lori, Dolores Harvin, whose name we spelled incorrectly, should be spelled with an E and not an I, from Wando High School. Give them a hand this morning. We do ask all of you to be safe tomorrow as we experience the solar eclipse. This is an international event. And so we do ask each of you to govern yourselves according to whatever advisories that have been given. There will be millions of people flocking to Charleston tomorrow. So as you travel and you move about the city, please be safe. Amen. At this time, Brother Sister Middleton, if you would prepare the sermonic selection for the Word of God.
Come on, everybody, say faithful. Say faithful. Say faithful. Everybody say faithful. Faithful. Come on, say faithful. Faithful. Let's say it one more time. Say faithful. Faithful. I'm reaping the harvest. Come on, take back. And I rejoice. I shall recover. Yes, I rejoice. I shall recover. Take it up. Come on, say holy. Holy. Everybody say holy, holy, holy is our God. Come on, sing it like you mean it. Say holy, holy, holy is our God. Say holy, holy, holy. Here we go. I'm reaping. Take it back. And I rejoice. Today I shall. Yes, I rejoice. I shall recover. Come on, say Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is. Okay, I'm talking to y'all. Say Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Jesus is. Let's make a big choir and say, Jesus, say Jesus, Jesus is our God. Jesus, Jesus, reaping. Take it back. I'm reaping. Take it back. My joy. So take it back. My peace. Reaping the harvest. Take it back. I'm reaping. Take it back. Here we go. And I rejoice. And come on, put your hands together right here. And I rejoice today. Come on, clap on the devil's head. And I rejoice today. Come on, clap like you mean it. Clap all over the building. And I rejoice. One more time. Come on, one more time. Let's clap it up. And I rejoice today. I shall recover. Come on, take back everything that the enemy stole from you.
Let us pray. God, you're faithful. You're holy. You are our God. We praise your holy name, O Heavenly Father, because we can say that we are reaping all of the promises that you have had in store for us. We bless you for life. And not only life, but we thank you for abundant life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these, our young people who are returning back to school so that they might be able to achieve an education that only through the illumination and expansion of their minds can take them to the moon and back. Help them, O God, that they may take full advantage of every opportunity you've placed before them. Thank you for all of your children who have come here today, recognizing that we need something bigger than ourselves. We need something greater than our own power. We need you, O God. We need you to live in us, to walk with us. We need you to help us as we make decisions and help us, O God, even as we interact one with another. Help us to understand the things that we certainly can't understand, that we see happening in our world. Begin to help our minds grapple with these tough things, that we might become active, yielded unto you, to become vessels of change. And then, God, send us a word today. A word that will stir us, not only in our spirit, but it will stir us in our understanding that we uniquely are designed so that you might get the glory out of our lives. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Those of you, very briefly, if you would turn again with me to the word that was read very eloquently by Brother Miles Castine from Oceanside Academy. Yeah, amen. Is that in Mount Pleasant?
Yeah, it's right by Wando.
It's right by Wando. Okay, very well. Is it a public school?
It's a charter school.
It's a charter school. All right, I'm learning something new as we are all in this moment together. Amen.
Want to make certain that I know where our young people are so I can come pop in and visit them.
Amen. And so if you would turn with me to the scripture that was read by Brother Miles Castine this morning, Genesis, the 45th chapter, the first book in the Bible, the 45th chapter, verse 1, and I will read, beginning with verse 1, the entire scripture that was read in your hearing, just for emphasis, for those who have already heard it, and then to get the rest of us caught up if we came after the reading of the scripture. And the word simply reads this way. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone come, go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh, they still heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that, his brothers talked with him." Amen. Using for a sermon subject briefly on this, the third Sunday in the month of August 2017, simply these two words: true reconciliation. True reconciliation. What kind of world are we living in? What is going on in America today? What's going to happen in our country when the dust settles in the midst of all of the chaos that we've experienced recently in our national discourse? Charlottesville, Virginia, can be Charleston, South Carolina. We just learned last week that there was scheduled to be a grand flagging right here on the campus of the College of Charleston on Glebe Street, where the secessionist party had already prepared to grand flag Glenn McConnell and regale him the honor of having Confederate flags marched up and down Glebe, Wentworth, George, St. Philip streets, and host a celebration of Confederacy right across the street from Mount Zion Church. What is happening in America where it's all right to be a bigot? It's okay to be a racist. It's all right to hate people. Where can we draw a line where people of goodwill who are decent, rooted and steeped in humanity, begin to say enough is enough? I love everybody, and it doesn't matter if they're white or black. Doesn't matter if they're gay or straight. It does not matter if they're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if they are Jew or Gentile. It does not matter if they came from slaves or if they were born free.
We ought to love because love is commanded by God. And so here we find, my brothers and sisters, that there are all kinds of conversations popping up across the United States of America as to how we can begin to reconcile ourselves one to another. Those of us who love this country, those who claim that they're trying to take the country back, I don't know where it ever went that we have to take the country back again. But here we find, my brothers and sisters, that there is something in the Word of God that speaks to this, where Joseph could have felt some kind of way with his brothers. And in fact, they did not even know that Joseph was still alive, and God fixed it, that a famine came in the land. See, when you are riding high and everything is going all right and you feel like you're on top of the world, well, that is a temporary state. Because if you live long enough, something will happen that will cause that high ride that you're on to come to a screeching low mountain. And so here we find, my brothers and sisters, that Joseph was still in the picture. Have you ever run into somebody that you thought was long gone? Somebody that you couldn't stand way back in the day, and you may have had some participation in trying to assassinate their character, or you may have said some words about them that caused other folk to turn against them, or you may have thrown a rock and hid your own hand in a matter that may have taken them down a notch or two. Can I get a witness of anybody who has known anybody in that category, or if we participated in doing so? Can I get a witness of anybody who's ever cut their eyes at somebody because they made you sick on any given day of the week? Can I find somebody in the house that can admit to the fact that from time to time there are individuals that as soon as they open their mouth, you cringe on the inside? Because there's something about them that you just don't like or just does not rub you the right way. So we all possess the capacity to feel some kind of way about people who have done something to us or our people. Amen? So here we find Joseph living the life. Young Pharaoh, who was now over Egypt, younger than Joseph. Joseph was just like his father. Joseph was set up in the house of Pharaoh after the previous Pharaoh had a dream, and the only person who could interpret the dream was Joseph. But it was not just interpreting the dream. Look at where Joseph came from. Joseph's brothers despised Joseph because Joseph's father loved him. Parents, we ought to be so careful splitting the difference between these children. I'm glad I only have one son, because I can give him all my love. Amen. And so he can't say that I love somebody else more than I love him because there's only one, right? But how many of you come from a family where there's more than one child, and you know your mama or your daddy love that other child more than they love you? Y'all don't want to admit it, but it happens. And from time to time, the parents may even say that so-and-so is their favorite child. Well, how you can have a favorite when all of them come from the same source? Amen. So here we find, my brothers and sisters, that Joseph's brothers, when Jacob gave him that coat that was of many colors, that was the last straw for them. They knew that Jacob loved Joseph, and they watched how Joseph regarded Jacob, and they experienced the love that was different that Jacob had for Joseph. And when Jacob gave Joseph that coat, and none of them had a coat of many colors, that was it for them. They began plotting and scheming, his brothers, how they could get rid of Joseph. What did they do? They decided, the brothers, that they were going to kill him. I'm not talking about people from Afghanistan. I'm talking about his brothers. They plotted as to how they were going to get rid of him. I'm not talking about people who are from guerrilla warfare countries. I'm talking about his own blood brothers. They plotted how they could begin to eradicate their lives from him. And even when Joseph came to them with a dream saying that God showed him that his sheaf would rise up against their sheaf and his star would shine brighter than their star, that was almost like rubbing salt in their wound. They could not stand to hear that. So they plotted and they decided that they were going to kill Joseph. And Reuben, one of his brothers, said that the Bible said we shouldn't kill. And Reuben begged his brothers in the midst of the assassination plot not to kill Joseph. But Reuben said, let's just throw him in a pit. And the wild animals will come and do away with him. And his brothers threw Joseph in a pit and they left him there for dead. But his pit became the place where God elevated him to the palace of Pharaoh, to the extent that Joseph is now over everything in Pharaoh's house. But it didn't come easy. Potiphar's wife was after Joseph, wanting to kill him because she wouldn't engage in any hanky-panky with her. Because he had integrity, because he had a moral compass, because he refused to stoop that low, and because he would not stoop that low when he escaped the murderous plots of his brother. He was in the house of Pharaoh, and Potiphar's wife then put a dagger in his back, set him up so that Pharaoh could do away with him. And so Pharaoh threw him in jail. And so it was that Pharaoh had a dream that no one could interpret. Joseph interpreted the dream. God elevated him in the eyes of Pharaoh. Pharaoh then put Joseph in charge as governor. And here Joseph was presiding over all of the resources of Egypt during the time of famine. Joseph had been separated from his brothers and from his family and from his father for 22 long years. And in the second year of the famine, the brothers journeyed to Egypt because the father told them to go to Egypt in order to get ration to bring it back to Israel so that they might live and not die. So here we find, my brothers and sisters, when they came to Egypt, we find some emotions overtaking all of them that we all can identify with today. They were shocked. They were stunned. They were overcome to find out that Joseph was still alive. When the brothers learned that Joseph was still alive and Joseph learned that the brothers were still alive, they had different interpretations of the very same event. The brothers immediately became fearful because they knew that they had done Joseph wrong. And they knew that now Joseph was up in high positions, that Joseph could retaliate against them. Wouldn't you do that? Don't we do that? When we get a position of authority, don't we abuse our power a little bit? When we get in those positions to get back at somebody who got us somewhere along the way? Amen, lights. You don't have to admit it. But it's the human nature of an individual that when we are over somebody else or perceive that we are over somebody else and we have the ability to really get them back, that we can use everything at our disposal to do it. And the brothers thought that this was Joseph's attitude, and because they hadn't seen him in 22 years, and where they left him, they intended for him to be dead. But Joseph had a different interpretation of his reunion with his brothers. Joseph was so overcome that he was in the presence of his brothers, and he recognized them, that he put everybody out of the room. Because he realized that he wanted to hug them up. He wanted to love them up. He wanted to kiss their necks.
And he began to tell them that I am Joseph, your brother. And those who were stunned and shocked and overcame, the first point that I would like to make was those are the right emotions that we can possess for God to get the glory out of every situation. So when we find ourselves in a circumstance, even our national context, where everything every day begins to shock you more than the day before, that becomes an opportunity for God to work a miracle in our lives. Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. And he says in verse number 7, for these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which the famine will take place, that there will be neither plowing or harvest. And he said, God sent me to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So Joseph looked at what God did for him as something that was a blessing for his family. So even though they intended to kill him, God turned that thing around for their good. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to be glad about that today, that God had Joseph in the right place at the right time. So that's the second point that I would like to make this morning, that all of us are in the right place at the right time, in the right position for God to use us to get a great glory out of our lives. God is ready to deliver. He's ready to deliver you from the age-old ideologies that continue to bind us. He's ready to deliver our families from those things that only we can begin to have courageous conversations to help them understand the will of God for all people in the world. And then he can deliver our nation. He can deliver our world from those things that we talked about early and those things that we experience today that becomes rooted and grounded in an antithetical argument that does not glorify God. And then lastly, Joseph fell on his brother. He fell on Benjamin's neck and he wept. Benjamin wept on his neck. And then he kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. And afterwards, his brothers all talked to him. We can be reconciled one to another. Number one, if we open our mouths and have true conversations. There are people in your family that you don't talk to. Many of us, we want to reconcile white and black, and we want to reconcile secessionists and nationalists and globalists. We want to reconcile all of these factional parties in the United States when you don't even talk to your own blood sister, and you don't talk to your own blood brother. There are folk who live in the same house, husbands and wives who sleep in different rooms, and they don't even talk to each other in the same house. And so when we begin to look at true reconciliation starts with a conversation. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to open your mouth. And when we open our mouths, we can't start at a place of anger and a place of resentment and a place of animosity, but we have to come with a place with an open disposition that I can receive from you and you can receive from me. And if I begin to feel whatever it is that caused you to feel whatever way that got you in the place where you are, then we can come to the middle. And we can begin to thank God for the spirit of love that continues to draw and bind us together. They talked. Not only did they talk, they cried. From time to time, when we come together, sometimes you don't have to say a word. The tears streaming down your face will say it all. Sometimes when you've hurt and been hurt, and there are no words that you can begin to express, the tears that you begin to shed begin to release all of those pented emotions that continue to keep us separated. And so when Joseph and his brothers began to talk, it laid the groundwork for true reconciliation to happen. He said, "Where's my father?" Joseph knew that his brothers
were the connection between him being able to be restored to a relationship with his Father. All of us, regardless of where we're from, regardless of who we are, regardless of our color, race, or creed, we all have the same Father. God is our Father. And because he is our Father, he is continuously trying to find a way to bring us back together again. When we come together, it's not white or black, but it's brother and sister. When we come together, it is not rich or poor, but it's child of God and child of God. When we come together, it is not slave or free, but it's heir and it's joint heir, and those of us who share in the richness of the glory of our Father who lives in heaven. When we come together, what a day of rejoicing that will be. There will not be a white heaven or a black heaven. There will just be heaven. And when we all get to heaven, we can sing and we can shout the victory. But we have to want to come together. We have to stop talking at each other, and we have to start talking to each other. We have to stop talking around one another and start talking with one another. We have to lay down our personal agendas, and we have to begin to see the opportunity that God has created for all of us in this season. Joseph told them there will be 5 more years of famine, and either you're going to get on board and eat, or you're going to die in the wilderness. I don't know how many of you remember Hugo, and I'm finished. But during Hugo, it didn't matter if you lived on the Battery or if you lived on Bayside. Everybody wanted to eat. During Hugo, when the FEMA trucks pulled up back to Green, it didn't matter if you lived on the projects or if you lived wherever else. We all were lined up in the line getting meal and butter. Y'all remember the... You weren't here. Man, you need... I wish you could experience a little piece of Hugo. But the Hugo experience pulled Charleston together. That reminded us that we weren't a city of rich or poor, haves or have-nots, but we were a city of believers. We were a city of people who believed not only in God, but we believed in the human spirit. When the Emmanuel event happened, we all can recall where we were when we heard the news. But it was more than just the event. It was the aftermath that created the opportunity for us to come together, not as white or black, not as individuals who have been separated, but as one community who believed in the one human spirit, not necessarily on a Cooper River bridge, but on a bridge that is built that expands to hope. Today we have the same hope. That if you talk the right way, if you communicate the right way. See, sometimes we communicate one way with one group and we communicate another way with another group. And that perpetuates the same foolishness. But if we communicate the right way, then there will be peace on earth. And it will begin with each one of us. That's what I want to hear right now. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Everyone standing. I want you to listen to this. Because you can be an ambassador of peace. Have you ever experienced hell? In your home? On your job? In your community? Turn on the TV, and we can see that we're living through it right now in our nation. When calamity comes, God still provides an opportunity to quiet
every storm. But it's an individual thing. We have to say to ourselves that I want there to be peace, but it has to start with me. And if it starts with you, you wouldn't argue with your wife or your husband as much. You wouldn't argue with your partner or bring home all of your baggage from work and lay it at their table. You wouldn't treat the ones who love you the most like dirt and then allow those who treat you like dirt to be treated like royalty. When we allow peace to come to our homes, meaning in our hearts, we can begin to go into the world. And where we are, we can turn situations filled with confusion into havens of peace. You can change the atmosphere of every room you walk in, because individuals will look at you and recognize that there's something in you that's worthy for them to begin to inquire how they can begin to exemplify those same attributes themselves. And so if there's one today who recognizes that in the midst of war we can have peace, and you just want to pray for peace, I invite you to come down and breathe a word of prayer, because we need peace today. As our children begin to start a new school year, and we know that all of the pressures they will experience, all of the issues that will confront them, we invite you to come and say a word of prayer for them. Because they need peace in the schools. From the bus stop to the classroom, in the hallways, in the cafeteria, everywhere they go, on the playground. We can pray for peace in our homes, in your house. We can pray for peace on Broad Street. We pray for peace in Columbia. We pray for peace on Pennsylvania Avenue. We pray for peace in the world. It has to begin with us. It's easy for all of us to feel some kind of way about those who have wronged us. But like Joseph, we can turn those negative emotions into something more positive that brings about a social change that will confound our harshest critics. Let us pray. God, you are our Father. Every person is our brother and our sister. Black, white, homeless, slave, descendant, or free, gay, straight, transgendered. We pray now in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you will set us free. Give us the spirit of Joseph that is a reconciling spirit. Regardless of how high our positions, we can still use those positions so that you can get glory out of our lives. We recognize, oh God, that we're all positioned for a purpose. And there's a reason that you have each of us where we are, that we can fight against the forces of darkness and we can bring about a marvelous light. We thank you if we're on the low end of the totem pole or if we're at the upper echelon, that you can use us to your glory. Father, we look at even the butler that served in the White House, that we never even knew who he was. But we learned that he served so many presidents with distinction until somebody took note and recognized that he was a child of God.
Let your light so shine so that you can get the glory out of whatever you have called us to do. Use us so that we can be earnest, we can be sincere, we can be ambassadors of peace, so that you can then bring about a greater glory in this sin-filled world. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are bound. We pray for those who continue to wish that hate and bigotry and racism and anti-Semitism and those kind of things that continue to divide and fragment, segregate, segment our world continues. We pray that somehow they will be delivered. And through that deliverance, they will be able to go back into those areas and deliver somebody else. We pray for those of us who have been wronged, that can't quite move away from the abuse that someone else has given, that continues to keep us up at night, trying to figure out ways to get them back. Help us to lay down our burdens and study war no more. Give us peace, O God, and recognize that when the deliverance comes, that even in the days of famine, you will still feed us if it's just pork and beans and rice. We bless you, God, because you level us in our humanity. It has nothing to do with the amount of money we have or the degrees that we have. But it has everything to do with our position and favor in you. We pray for our students who are going back to school, elementary, middle, high, and college. Let them have a successful start and a successful school year. We pray for those who work in school situations, that you will help them to educate our young people and assist and support them in their education so that they may have a level playing field in this world. And then, God, look at this church. Sundays are the most segregated days, but we are trying to tear even that wall down. Help us to join with our brothers and sisters next door and across town and around the country so that we might be a witness, not only as Christians, but people of faith, with Jews and Muslims and those who believe, that we might be able to come together, and even those who don't believe, that we can come together under the banner of humanity and recognize that we all deserve life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. And then, Father, when we leave this place today, don't leave us. Use us. Transform us. Transfix us. Transfigure us so that we might be ambassadors of your will. Wherever we go, the light that we shine can begin to eradicate darkness. The love that we exude can drive hate away. And we will give your name the praise. We will give your name the glory. We will give your name the honor. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Let the church say amen. Amen. We pray for Joe Smith. We pray for Charles Brown, who's fighting for his life, recognizing that God can do anything. We pray for Stalin Rouse. So as we enjoy lives filled with health and we're whole, always remember that there's somebody worse off than we are. And even if there's something that we're battling and we're going through, still give God's name the praise. We thank God for Rudy, Catherine Braxton's son, who had a good report. And we ask that God continues to bless her and him as they both move toward health and wholeness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give somebody a hug and tell them you love them. Love you. Love you, brother. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. The entire church has an invitation to view, or there's going to be a total eclipse party at the Borough House tomorrow on Calhoun Street. Amen. Charleston is the place to be, and so if you can't find a spot, go to the Borough House. True reconciliation begins with you. You can turn every situation around. If Joseph was able to do it with his brothers, then we can do it with our brothers and sisters. Amen. You all have trophies to present. Let's do that before we go. Amen. Quickly. Just let them stand. They don't have to come forward. As she continues to mend, she had a little episode on Friday, I believe, but she's with her parents now. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now, henceforth, and forevermore.